Please go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is it working? Yeah? I think this is the second time we meet. First time was
of course.
When, yeah? The first time was when your book was published in Dutch, the book you wrote in 2004. It was published in, it was in Arabic, the title is Assamt wa Sahab, and it was published in Dutch under the title Stilte en Lawaai. I always forget it. you wrote it in 2004, or you published it in 2004 in Beirut.
Yeah, it was published in 2004.
Yeah, and but it was not published in Syria, it was published in Beirut.
In Beirut,
yes.
In Lebanon.
Yeah. And but was it sold in Syria, or was it only sold in outside Syria?
Sold, well, I could find it in some libraries from under the table.
Yeah, yeah. So
not in vitrines.
It was not allowed, but people sold it and read it also in Syria at the
time.
Yeah,
they can recommend it and buy it.
Yeah, yeah. So. We will talk about this book. Does it feel strange for you to talk about a book you wrote in 2004 when all these things are happening now in Syria? Does it feel uncomfortable, or do you have an idea that the book might be part of this also?
I think it is very obvious that when you talk about an authoritarian regime, or such dictators, maybe you you will find yourself predicting, because the imagination goes by the way that something will be real one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many people, they found it like a prediction of for the future.
Yeah, that's what I read also in many critics. And I also read, and I quote one of them, it is by Kirsten Knip in Kantara, and she said, Siri's great mastery is in turning this fear into humorous capital and in writing a book in which even humor harbors its own horror. So what she says is, especially humor is one of the main issues in the, or the main factors in the book. And I would like to stress it's also a sense for absurdity. I think that's a very strong one. It may be even stronger than humor is in the book. What do you think?
Humor, maybe.
Humor?
It's okay.
Okay.
Because you know, I wanted this, or I wanted readers to laugh when they read about how the dictator deals or making or playing with his people.
Yeah, because he's becoming a ridiculous person also in the book. I mean, he's a figure. He's not a real one. Is this a way that is this unique in Arabic literature? I know some books, or I know some writers who also did it. For instance, someone like Emil Habibi also did something with satire and things like that. But is this rare in Arabic literature, or do you know other books? Are you influenced by?
Maybe you can say that Arabic literature is very strict, very serious. And very real, stuck with the reality more than to imagine something strange. And but we have like Emil Habibi in his books, and some others, but now I can't remember.
Maybe someone like Zakaria Tamer, who is
Zakaria
also Syrian.
Zakaria Tamer, yeah. Hasib Kayali. We have, many. Even Musa Min Hujra Ila Shimal.
Yes.
You can find something. Tayyib Saleh. Yeah.
Okay. What I suggest now is that we jump through the novel and see what you do with this absurdism and humor. I will just give an outline as it is written on the back flap of the Dutch translation. I just quote from the back flap. It is still early in the morning, but the heat is already unbearable. The author, Fathi Sheen, wakes up. A deafening noise penetrates into the house. Outside, the authorities have organized a mass demonstration to celebrate the 20th birthday of the dictatorship. Fathi decides to go to his beloved Lama, but once on the street, he is carried away by the fanatical crowd. Fathi goes out in the street, where he is swept away in the masses of the demonstration, and megaphones are everywhere. He gets caught up in an incident and is forced to hand in his ID card. That marks the beginning of a turbulent day in which he visits his mother, then goes to his fiancée Lama, then he goes to the party bureau to recuperate his ID card, and in the end he is tortured and intimidated at the security. So this is mainly the rough outline of the book. But let us start where the book begins. It begins in the apartment of Fathi Sheen. He is a journalist, he is a writer, but he's also an outsider. He is not really working anymore. And the description of the apartment is really very intense. It's very hot in the apartment and it's very noisy. And then he goes outside and it's even more noisy and more and hotter also, and he feels very, he doesn't feel comfortable at all outside between all the people, with all the people. And this description, it's about two or three pages, and the first thing that strikes you as a reader is that there is no name mentioned of the city. We don't know, well, the city is not mentioned, and it is never mentioned in the book. We don't read about which city it is, although we all know about which city it is. Why did you do it this way?
To be more general or more common, it is the authoritarianism is not something special for this country, not that country. We have in the Middle East, in Africa and Asia, a lot of countries where the rulers are really dictators, and we can now count in 2004. Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, Bashar al-Assad, Saleh, and others. In the history, we can remember Idi Amin, Bokassa. Now, for example, in north of Korea, also one very funny leader, I can say. That means it is better for me at that time, maybe for this reason, to be more general, and also to keep for myself a safe place, even it is very small, because everyone who reads the book will know that it is written about Aleppo, because the geography of Aleppo, streets, squares, the hotel, the party building, and other, all these things point to this city. This is, I think, was the reason.
Yeah, and that's all, for this same reason you also talk about the leader and you don't give him a name.
Not only I didn't give him a name, also I made him different from that.
Also, he doesn't look like the old Assad. Like. Yeah, okay. Another phenomenon which in this first passage, in this first four pages, is this noise as opposed as something which is very negative, and as opposed to silence, which is positive. And I think when you read the book, you really go far with this, because you also talk about music as being something negative, or at least a special sort of music.
Yeah, sort of music. Yeah.
And you also say, for instance, about poetry even, that it can be very detrimental to for people, because slogans can be written with in a poetic language, and that's why poetry is dangerous in a dictatorship.
Look, poetry. It is now, I was mentioning something by this the same funny way about their slogans, about their way of communicate, and the people talk, the audience. They use some sorts of poetry which is revolutionary or something like that, and so it was written by or mentioned these sorts of poetry and music. For example, music, they love the march, for example, as a sort of music, march, and so they all the time in the, I am talking only about the novel. They broadcast march just to make people ready or stand up at least. Also explaining the way they demonstrating in streets, how they repeat kind of poetry, which they want to make people more stand by and ready to defend the leader.
Yeah.
Everything about defending leader, to love leader, everything to express.
Yeah. Everything is in the service of the leader.
Yeah, exactly.
So we go back to Fathi. He, after the incident in the street, when he has to give his ID card, he changes his mind. He doesn't go to his beloved Lama, but he first goes to his mother's house. This mother, when I read about her, she really puzzles me, because she is a very I think very disinterested woman. She's lazy. She only cares for her own appearance. She's sitting in the house, although she's an intelligent woman and she reads. She used to read. She is someone. And then Fathi says several times, "I love her very much." What is this love for a woman who is so indifferent and so...
His mother. I think as she is his mother, and she is not so bad. Even I love her, because I find her like something very, like a doll, like, by this way, something people... her son will find that something lovely in her. So she was rejecting that she is old woman, and this is why she agreed to accept that man, Ali Hassan, who requested her hand. Mm-hmm. So I can't see a character who hates life, or she finds herself as old woman to think to get married again.
Okay.
This was really like
because what I thought, she's an intelligent woman. She went to school. She could do something about the situation in her country, and she's completely indifferent. So I thought maybe she's representing some group or whatever in society who could do something but stand by and do nothing. This is not
in part of her. Mm. She represents
the intellectual group of, middle class
of people in middle class.
Yeah,
This is in this class. Especially, she was. She doesn't care, and the book talk about her careless a lot about this, and how she managed to live happy because she was careless.
Yeah. And then the other woman in his life, he goes to his mother, and then he goes to his beloved Lama. And she is a completely different woman. She is completely different from his mother, I think. And also his relationship with her. I think the relationship with his mother is also based on humor. Relationship with Lama is mainly based on, their sexual relationship. She strikes me as a person who is like the author, or like Fathi. She's an outsider. She is a divorced woman. She lives by herself in an apartment, and they both see this apartment as a kind of refuge, and they use their sexual relationship to escape from reality. Is that correct?
Sex helped them to at least to stand against against the, let's say, reality, as the dictatorship is reality at that time. So they he was summoned to the security service, and they want from him to explain something happened, why he is against he is not a patriotist, and now they blame him that he is against the leader. So he was in a big pressure at that time, and he found help from her side.
Yeah.
So maybe sex is a result, but from her, he finds always helpful.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, there's one passage I would like you to read it also, but before that I will introduce it. Fathi comes, is in this demonstration, he feels very suffocated, he comes to Lama, and Lama is waiting for him, and she expects him to make love with her. But he is so caught up in this demonstration that he wants to see what is happening, and he opens the television and he wants to follow what happens. And in the same time, Lama tries to make love to him to do that. And then I would like to you to read page 84, Arbawatamanin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. وفي لحظة معينة خرج أحد حراس الزعيم إلى الشرفة يمسك بتمثال له ثم رفعه بيديه إلى ما فوق رأسه وراح يديره إلى كل الجهات بينما كانت الجماهير تطلق صراخا تهليليا مديدا امتد إلى أبعد فأبعد كهدير طائرة تطير مبتعدة
استمر عرض التمثال لخمس دقائق ثم اختفى فتراجعت موجة الصراخ رويدا رويدا حتى كادت تنطفئ، ولكن الزعيم كان مصمما على عدم ترك الجماهير تهدأ، فما لبث أن ظهر شبحه خلف النافذة ليعود الصراخ من جديد. همست لما وهي متعلقة بي وتطوقني بذراعيها، فقد شعرت بأنني أهملتها طويلا بسبب اهتمامي بما كان يجري على الشاشة. أوكي؟
And then it's even getting more absurd because Fatih and Lama are sitting on the couch and he is still completely captivated by the images on the screen. And then you can read page 88. Mm-hmm. It's a very small